Here with me is David Geffen, who's head of the music division of Ashley Famous Agency, which handles many young performers. And David, if I may use your first name, I think is interesting to many of us as the talent that Miss Nero has already displayed is the process by which you select out of the many the one who will be given an opportunity, really, to meet an audience and in the process grow in fame and in, I trust, in the skills of her particular talent. Suppose you tell us the story of Miss Nero.
Well, it's not a problem because there are so few great talents that it's always a discovery when you find the one. There are so many people around who are trying to make it in the music business. It's a very open business, more open, I think, than any other area of show business. With Laura, I didn't discover her. I was in California, and she had a record that was being played quite a bit. And I heard the record, and I loved it, and I went out and bought the album and listened to it, and I was stunned at all the insight that she had. You know, and she was, at the time, I think, 19 years old, and it was overwhelming. It was more of an experience than I had ever had listening to an artist. And I got back to New York. I tried to track her down, and I called up her manager, the man who was handling her at the time, and I said, "Your client is unbelievable." And he proceeded to put her down terribly, you know. And I thought to myself, how awful that this poor girl was, you know, being managed by someone who had no respect for her at all. And I finally got to meet her. And she was very innocent, very, very innocent young girl who really couldn't take care of herself. All she could do was create. And I told her that I wanted to help her, and she needed help. And, we got together, and I've been her agent since then. She's a very special person. She's very much a woman, and yet she's incredibly a child, incapable of driving or, you know, just makes beautiful music and has a great deal of wisdom.
Well, now, when you first met Miss Nero, she had arrived at some public identification. Was she known broadly or basically, say, among the aficionados of soul music or rock or whatever you would call it? Or was there a need to begin almost all over again and make an introduction to the audience? And
yes, it was, because her initial start in this business had been handled by people who had no sensitivity at all, and they had led her in all the wrong directions. I remember she was telling a story of the first time that she appeared anywhere. They had her booked on an aircraft carrier with 60,000 drunken sailors, and she followed
him. I am an old retired naval officer, David. Now, would you like to rephrase that? She was on an aircraft carrier and what? 60,000
young
nice
men.
Young men. Yes, go.
And she was,
I'm sorry.
She was following a roller skating act, and they wouldn't let her sing live. They had her, and she's a great singer. They had her mouth lip-sync to a record, and in the middle of the record, it started skipping. You know, there was just no protection, you know, no care for her as a person or an artist. And this first album that she'd recorded was also, again, with no care. All the care that she'd put into creating the material was then handled with no care by the people who were going to lay it down on tape, and it was an inferior product. For her, not that
in terms of sound production or in terms of what?
She writes marvelous lyric musical changes, and her arranger didn't think that they were commercial. But she doesn't know what commercial means. She only knows what she feels, so they would write out her changes, things that she labored on for months and months and months, and they would just take them out. And she used to go in and listen to the tracks that they had made out of her music, and she would cry. You know, she would just cry, and they used to think she was crazy. You know, here she was crying all the time. And then they would give her, one or two opportunities to sing the song, and she was going for something that was beautiful, something that was personal and beautiful to her. And they were just looking to sell records, you know, and that was not what her intention is. It isn't today. As a matter of fact, it's very difficult to get her to do anything that might further her, you know, her career in the business, so to speak. She won't do television shows for the most part. She never has. She doesn't go on the road. And all she wants to do is do a personal creative thing. Although she'll start now because she wants to perform, it's part of the whole talent. But now when she'll perform surrounded by people who are interested in what she's doing, not looking for her to do something else.
Now, as one who has tried to understand the modern sounds of music, I felt certainly in the 1950s that the lyric did not have a substantial meaning or quality or was not considered necessarily to have such because the sound was overpowering. You very rarely could make out a word occasionally. But I've noticed in Miss Nero Singh that the lyrics do play a very substantial part. Now, was this a calculated decision to change a character of music, or had Miss Nero taken up a new vogue in terms of rock and soul by giving a distinction to lyrics and the quality of the lyrics?
No, I think lyrics have always been important to any songwriter, any serious writer of music. From the very beginning, I think in the 50s, things that seemed simple and superfluous had some meaning. Maybe it wasn't a great meaning, it didn't shake the world, but it
meant something. What if you couldn't hear them, Dave? I never could hear the words. All I could hear was the
music. Well, there were a lot of things that were just sounds, like shaboom, shaboom. And it doesn't have a meaning, it's a feel. It's a musical feel, and if it makes you feel good, then it has a meaning. I think in Laura's case, she's trying to communicate in her songs and in her music of trials and of love and happiness and... For instance, the song Stone Soul Picnic, the lyrics are, can you surrey, can you picnic? Well, that really doesn't mean anything. She's not asking you to have a picnic, you know, per se, not literally. She's just setting up a joyful feel with the music, you know, and really hoping that you'll be joyful along with it.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that one, because I wanted to ask you if I was interpreting something here. As I remember, it begins, let me look for it here, can you surrey?
The lyrics are, can you surrey, can you picnic?
Come on,
and surrey down to a stone soul picnic.
Does this have reference to the surrey with the fringe up?
Well, it's a means of transportation, only in a very magical sense. It's a feel. Surrey on down is to float on down. One of the lyrics are, and from the sky come the Lord and the lightning. And that's where that particular song was at for her. For instance, her version of it is a lot happier, a lot more joyful, for instance, in the Fifth Dimensions. Theirs is, they interpreted it, you know, very literally. As a matter of fact, when they perform it, they make like a surrey with a fringe on top. One has nothing to do with the other at all. Their feels, for instance, When I Die, the song that she sang in the beginning, is a song that she wrote when she was 16 years old. And it overwhelmed me that a girl of 16 years old could say, when I die and when I'm gone, there'll be one child born in the world to carry on.
This is a remarkable lyric, and certainly the lyric to that particular song has a high poetical quality. I want to thank you, and I'm also going to reveal that you're not used to cameras. You've found the challenge of the camera, I think, one that you easily overcame.
Oh, thank you.
But I do hope, as you said, it will give you more sympathy for your performance.
Much more.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you.
As you know, as one critic has described to listening to Miss Nero, quote, at first, she sounds like a soul singer. Suddenly, the listener notices that lyrics are starting to form networks, referring forward and backward as often as they proceed linearly. Sometimes, she does whole lines at a single clip. Other times, she shades and shapes each note. She can make her voice anything from solid to fragile. Well, she is a poet, but both the poetry and the music are of equal stature in terms of the total work. The two are inseparable. Listen particularly to the lyrics of these next two songs. Here again is Laura Nero.